Finding direction through the written word of God is the emphasis for this season of teaching. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you and praise you because we are so blessed, hallelujah, to have an opportunity to come together around the word of the Lord. May we find rest, may we find tranquility and things much needed in the word of God. Let it be for us all that we need from you through it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Talk a little bit tonight about how to study the Bible. How to study the Bible. How to study the Bible. It is quite true that the success of a Christian's life really depends on what he or she does with their Bible. The Bible is not just our church book. We see it as our way to understand God, understand the things of God, and understand his perfect directions for life. And his directions for life really are perfect. The challenge is the perfect understanding. Amen. There's a noted writer whose name is E.W. Kenyon. He says, our attitude toward the word determines the place that God holds in our daily life. And so Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He writes to him not just as another preacher, but he writes to him to encourage him to be a student of the Word of God as a matter of course for your life as a minister. It can be possible that a person only uses the Scriptures for religious purposes, but they don't benefit us if they are only used for religious purposes. If they are only used as the sacred document that we use in church, then it will not really truly benefit us. We are benefited from it if it becomes something for us as attorneys do. Attorneys actually refer back to the law over and over and over and over again. They read what's in the law, they reread what's in the law, and then they go even further. They read what someone has written about what's in the law, and then go back and read it again. But their entire lives evolve around, their lives and livelihood evolves around the law. What we have in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, we have God manifesting himself to us and providing the context of his relationship with man, his pattern for life, his dealing with man, his provisions for man. The reason why the Bible for us doesn't just contain words spoken by God is because that's not how human beings get understanding. We don't get understanding even in life just by hearing one side of the conversation. We get understanding in life because we hear multiple sides of the conversation and we receive the context, the situation, the circumstances, and the other pieces of information that helps us to understand the words, what they mean, and how they relate to us. And not only how they relate to us, we find out how they relate to others. And that's really an important piece there. I don't just understand how it relates to me. I understand how it relates to others. Because none of us, no man is an island. We live in a community. We live in a community. And maybe we could even say we live in multiple communities. There is a family community. There is a work community. There's a church community. There is a social community. There is a community community. We all live in these various areas. And to better and best understand the things of God and how God relates to us, we really need to have the context. And context of things is not received well by a glance. Context is received best when there is a deep, regular, or maybe I should say conscientious observation and study and recognition of things. So Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, study to show thyself approved of God. Now, let me just stop right there. This is not, though it is used in this context most of the time, this doesn't mean study to show thyself approved unto God or approved by God in the eyes of man. This says, study to show thyself approved to God or unto God. We should study the word to show that we have divine approval to God. Now, that's a real different perspective for the most part that is related to the Word of God, especially when someone is talking to a person who is in ministry, who ministers the Word. Every person who teaches, preaches, should study the Word of God to live by more than we study the Word of God to prepare to give out. Amen. Here's one of the benefits of studying the Word of God to live. If we study the Word of God to live, we will minister out of the overflow rather than minister from the little jots and tittles and the little nuggets that we get. But when we study the Word of God to find how we can be and what we should do in order to be approved to God, that God sees us as approved, that's weighty stuff to me. That I study the Word of God so that I can be prepared to be seen by God. Now let's go secular for just a moment, and I think we'll see even the value of that kind of approach. A person who is practicing law. They're practicing law before a judge. They're practicing for a client before a judge. The one who needs to be clear about whether or not they are really truly knowledgeable of the law is the attorney, so that the attorney doesn't appear before the judge or in the eyes of the judge as ignorant, as misguided, or anything like that. It's important for us as children of God, as people of God, to see that we do have a judge who stands at the door. And our judge, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. So we should study the Word of God so that we can always appear before Him as pleasing in His sight. Not in the sense that we are trying to cleanse ourselves, even though we're clean through the Word, but not as though we're trying to literally create our own righteousness. It's not for that purpose. It's for the purpose of being able to stand in the presence of God, ready, prepared, and doing what pleases Him. Amen. Amen. Because what happens when we are doing what pleases Him, and we have studied and we have sought God through His Word so that we are approved, showing ourselves approved to God? Great confidence comes as we bring any and every need before God. It is hard to have confidence and being puzzled at the same time. It is easy to have confidence when there is, I know what they're looking for. If I go to the bank and I have studied their notes on preparing to get a loan for a house, I go in with confidence. Or if I have worked on what they want from me in terms of credit reference and credit record, and I've watched my scores and I've paid attention to how I pay bills and other things like that. Well, I don't go and sign for a credit app. I hope they approve me. Because if we come with I hope they approve me, that means we have not studied to show ourselves approved. We've not delved enough into the knowledge base. And all I'm saying is, while we'll do that for things that pertain to life, let's do it for things that pertain to godliness. Are you hearing me tonight? So he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that has no need of shame, who is not ashamed, has no need of shame. No need of shame. Now, he does say no need, that working that needed not to be ashamed, because you know you can be unashamed and ignorant. Unashamed and ignorant. Hello, somebody. you know, unashamed and not aware of something. You know, you're boldly talking before people and you standing up, you're doing something. Somebody say, you didn't tuck that quite in there. Oh. Just get your attention. You want to get, you kind of hide a little bit because, you know, you kind of needed to be ashamed. but you weren't ashamed because you were ignorant of where you really stood. Didn't know to be ashamed. And here's God saying, I want you to be a workman that you have studied, you are approved, and you already know there's no reason for me to approach God with any shame, any embarrassment, and any bashfulness. I'm ready. I'm ready. When I come on my knees and I'm praying, I know what I'm praying about. I know how to pray about this matter. I know how to deal with God on this matter. I know how to stand against the forces of evil on this matter because I have studied the word of God, not so that I am approved and the devil know it. No, I want to study the word of God until God knows it. And then God says, you know, like the little kid, glory to God, and we're really his children, come up, you know, do I look all right? You look good. Take off, going on out there, ready, hallelujah. Because this is where God wants us to understand that you get your confidence from me. Aroboshe. Thank you, Jesus. You get your confidence from me. So get in my face, get in my presence, and you will live a life without intimidation. Now, that was important for Timothy because Timothy had to be told, needed to be told, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And he needed to have that word from God. Why did he need that? Because he had some trouble in that area. He had some problems in that area. But I'm so glad the way God works. God knows how to help us with our stuff. Oh, and doesn't he help us with our stuff? He knows how, and he does help us with the matters of life that we have to deal with, the issues of life that we're dealing with. God knows how, and he does help us with that. So how does God do that? Well, you know how he does it. He leads us to the word because that's the context. That's how I get it all right. That's how I get it all straight. And he says, need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. Rightly dividing. The word dividing is a contextual word that really is not, you know, it's not some narrow thing like, you know, you got to be able to, you know, you know, I know the difference between verse 1 and verse 2. No, not that kind of division. He's talking about rightly dividing in terms of clarification, understanding the word that is truth. Study the word of truth so that you can divide it. You can use it. You can prepare your life, your direction, your response, everything with the word. And the good thing about it is it's not a word of opinions. It is a word of truth. It's not a word, glory to God, that is someone's ideas. It is a word of truth. That's what God wants us to study. Study so that we are approved, not in line with some doctrinal and some kind of a gathering of information that someone has their little checklist. No, he says, I want you to be studying so that you are right in line with the word of truth. And that's what we have in the Bible. And it is the reason why I would say it is incumbent upon us to really study the word of God, to study the Bible and study what it says. And we study it probably more by hearing it and reading it than we do any other way. Glory to God. Study it by reading it and hearing it. Let me try to keep going here. Because I'm look like I'm getting stuck on just the introductory verse, and I got a lot more to go. Well, help us, Lord. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Here are good and worthy guidelines for study. Number one, guidelines for study. Number one, one must be born again to really understand the Bible. A person who is not changed in their heart will have a difficult time truly understanding the Bible. Here's the reason why. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man, the what kind of man? The natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they are foolishness to him. They are what? Foolishness to him, the natural man. Neither can he know them. The natural man can't receive them and can't know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. I believe that we established last teaching session that the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible, is ours from God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God can be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's God's will for us. So when we look at the Word of God, we need to make sure that as we teach it, as we use it, as we minister it, as we receive it for ourselves, that we must be open to this. We must be open to this. It is not enough to just, you know, some people like the Bible because they just love debate. They love argument. Amen. There are some people that are turned on to attending a church if they get to have that debate time before the service. Love. They're saying, I love Sunday school, but sometimes they're really not loving Sunday school. They're loving the school on a Sunday. They really love their interaction. Oh, yeah, I got to prove my point. I got to. They came back in, but I had something for them. You know, that. but really, that is really more human. That's just a lot of flesh there. What is important is that we understand that as we would teach, whether it is a class, some particular class, or we're teaching, you know, even a Sunday school class, whichever one it is, we should be driving toward a heart change, a new birth in the students. Not just have people come to church. And if they are born again, help them to understand that you can get this. You can get this. Why? Because when you are born again, what is open is your spiritual ear is open. Your spiritual eyes are open. Glory to God. Your spiritual understanding is open. When you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, save me, then God takes the death principle, glory to God, away from your spiritual being, and now you can hear what thus says the Lord. And I want to tell you something, glory to God, and I didn't really talk about it last time, but I tell you, when we start talking about the Bible and we start talking about the fact that God used his voice as the beginning, and the purpose of getting it written down is for the continuity of the voice of God, to hear what thus says the Lord. If any man hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, because God wants to communicate. God wants to speak. And Jesus makes it clear, glory to God, even before Jesus showed up, there was somebody that came before him that said, I'm the voice. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And God was giving instruction. Oh, I'm not the one, but there he is. He's coming. Glory to God. And when he showed up, he said, there he is. That's the one. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The same way that God came with a redemptive work in the garden. Adam, where art thou? Now that, I know we talk a whole lot of things about, you know, we talk, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him. That is redemptive. But it does not exceed in redemption the first thing that God said that was a redeeming word to a fallen man. He said, Adam, where are you? Glory to God. That's redemption. And I want to tell you something. God hadn't stopped saying, Adam, where art thou? He's still saying it. He's still a redeeming God. And so when we're teaching the things of God and the word of God, we ought to be teaching it from the perspective that we want you to open not just your thinking ear and not just your intellectual ear, but we want you to open up your inner ear, because that inner ear, not the physical inner ear, the spiritual inner ear, has the ability to see what's spoken. That's called discernment. Glory to God. Oh, you see, anybody unredeemed can read words on pages. Glory to God. But only the redeemed, the one who have been changed by the power of God and now have their senses, see, exercised to discern between what's good and what's evil. Only they are the ones who have this capacity from God to be spiritually discerning. And so we want to raise up. Oh, one of the parts of that prophetic word that came to me years ago was to raise up an army of warriors who are kings in discernment. Discernment. I don't mean, can I feel what you're doing and what you're up to? That's kings in suspicion. God wants people who are kings in discernment. To be able to discern, you see, you know, if I'm suspicious of somebody, I can see something that ain't there if I'm just suspicious. But glory to God, when we are discerning, help me to say discerning, when we are discerning, we have capacity from God, hallelujah, to pick up things that cannot be seen with the natural eye, to pick up and to be aware of, help me to say aware of discernment, seeing, because spiritually discerning, we can see things that cannot be seen with the natural. And God is saying, if you really want to study the word and be a student of the word, there's got to be something down in here. There's got to be something in here that gets changed. Because that's the eye that needs to get open, not these. Because, you know, you can be blind. Shabbat. Thank you. You can be blind, physically blind, but you see spiritually. You see spiritually. I want 20/20 vision spiritually. Even if my natural vision needs corrective lenses. Glory to God. Lord, help me to keep going. That's number one. Got to be born again. Guidelines for study. Number two, recognize that the Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. He's the what? He's a divine teacher. St. John chapter 14, verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, what will he do? He shall teach you all things. Say that with me, all things. He shall teach you all things. Now, let me put a pin right there and just remind you of something. When you sit in an audience and you hear a man or woman of God ministering or preaching or teaching the word of God, if you receive it not as words of a man, but as it indeed it is, the word from the Lord, then it becomes the Holy Ghost that is teaching you. And I'll tell you something about it that is so important. The Holy Ghost is such a powerful teacher that while the person is standing up teaching, you don't even have to worry about whether they are a perfect understanding or not, because you have the inner teacher. That's why you can go to a service and say, you know, so-and-so, they ain't do nothing tonight. But then you got another person, ooh, that just blessed me. What? Because I wasn't trying to hear them. Hallelujah. Oh, they were up talking, but I wasn't really trying to hear them. I was listening to them, but I was trying to hear God. Y'all get that? Y'all get that? I was listening to them, but I was trying to hear God. I was trying to hear the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has an unusual ability. That's why when you can get in a service and the word of God is going forth with power and with victory, glory to God, you can get lost in just some part of you. You have to kind of come back to yourself and say, where is he right now? Glory to God. Because the Holy Ghost began to start teaching you and talking to you while you were sitting there. You caught on to one word from the Lord. Hallelujah. You said, oh my goodness. And you needed it for that thing that you are addressing in your life. You said, oh God, that's my word. That's my word. That's my word. That's my word. And you'll go back and push play on the tape again, on the CD, on the podcast again. Why are you going to do that? So I can hear it again, because that's when God spoke to me. And the service may be over and the minister may be gone home, but you push replay and the Holy Ghost will start all over again. All over again. That's why you can listen to the same thing 10 times, 15 times, 30 times. And every time you hear it, the Holy Ghost is able to just unfold one more thing to you. Hear it again. Unfold one more thing to you. Hear it again. Unfold one more thing to you. So it's necessary. It's necessary to recognize the Holy Ghost is the divine teacher. I'm teaching you tonight, but I'm teaching you that he's the teacher. He's the what? He's the teacher. He's the comforter. He will teach you all things. Those two words there still mess with me. Because while I think, okay, I'm learning, all things just hadn't become for me a destination. It's a journey. I have learned more about God in the last 24 months of my life than I think I might have ever known most of my life. Personally, the Holy Ghost is the teacher, and there is no limit to what he can teach. All things. So never believe that there's anything in here that's too high for you or too much for you. Because he can teach what? All things. And he has the best search and retrieval system that has ever been made. He can bring all things to your remembrance. All things. Jesus is telling the disciples this. I want you to go into all the world believing that you got the connection to all things at every level. All things at every level. He'll teach you all things, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance. And then he qualifies it. Holy Ghost, not going to be talking about what Socrates said. Write it in. So if you want to know, is it the Holy Ghost? One of the questions you can ask, who said that? I'll keep going. That's good. Let me give you the next scripture. St. John chapter 16, verse 13. St. John 16, verse 13. Glory to God. We're going to have a part three on this. Glory to God. St. John chapter 16, verse 13. Are you there? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, so that's why you can trust him. He's a Spirit of truth, and you know who he's going to be talking about. He's going to be saying what Jesus said. When he is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. All truth. All what? Truth. There are believers who get caught up into what I think, in so many ways, part of this is just experience as a pastor. They get caught up into this thing, you know, I want a word from the Lord, and I want to know, you know, Do I buy the house over here, or do I buy the house here, or do I buy the house there? And so we're asking the Holy Ghost, lead me to the house. But when I look back at the word, it tells me he guides into truth. Not houses. Truth. Not houses. What? Truth. So, well, what if God, you know, I want to know whether God wants me to have this house, or that house. Don't you know that God says about your life, if you look in Psalms 1, he says, if you walk in truth, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. You know what it says? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Listen, if you are like a tree, you a tree in this house, that house, or the other house. It don't matter about the house. It matters who's in the house. The tree's in the house. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he shall bring forth his fruit in his season. Glory to God. So it don't matter about the house. It matters about the one in the house and where he is in God. Hallelujah. So he is not in the business of all of this stuff. I said, well, are you sure? I just thought he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. I'm blessed everywhere because I'm connected to the right source. And whatsoever he doeth, pick one. I want you to hear God saying that about you. Pick one. Hallelujah. Said, does God want me on this job or this job or this job? Pick one. Glory to God. He'll lead you into all truth. Glory to God. Because it doesn't really matter so much about the job. You want to make sure you're not deceived, misled. Because any house will work. But Lord, I want to see. Oh, the Holy Ghost just showed me. Crack there. They didn't disclose that, but I see it. Came by there while it was raining, and I see that. Oh, it floods all back there. Glory to God. Don't really want a pun. Glory to God. He'll lead you into all truth. Said, how the world I discern truth? Jesus said, and he shall know the truth, speaking about himself, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Don't ever say set. Make you free. I don't have time to deal with that. Make you free. And so he'll guide you into truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's how to best understand the Bible. You got to have that inner teacher. Because he'll show you things in the Word of God and show you things you need to be building your faith on, even when you don't even know you're getting ready to deal with that. Amen, church. Amen, church. All right. So all I covered. Now that's a shame. That's just the way it is. Okay, you got those two guidelines for study. I got a few more guidelines for study, but we're going to have to pick those up the next time. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What's God saying to us? I believe what the Lord is saying to us is he wants us as his children to grab a hold to his provisions and let him take us into the depths that he has prepared for us. He's got good things prepared for us. And we want to be able to communicate that. Want to communicate that. Want to do what? Want to communicate that. Let's pray. Father, with everything in my heart, I've endeavored to not just talk about and run through an outline, but to open the eyes of the understanding of your people, to help them to see what you want them to see. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that as we grow and we know and learn and challenge ourselves on how to study the Bible, that we don't get caught up into this person's little way, study it this way, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Another person's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Lord, we want to study with the teacher by our side. And with our eyes being open. And Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will work in us to will and to do your good pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Can you give the Lord a hand for his word? Would you do that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.